Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. This is a little sad, though, Murph. I mean, typically, we're joined by our co-host. Yeah, and I'll either go to throw it to you or Tino, but Tino's not here, man. So how you doing, Murph?
Well, the audience can't see us right now, but I'm pouring one out for Tino.
Wait a second, you guys have upgraded. You guys got CGF in the house now.
Oh, wait, let's see. That I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm gonna let you slander our boy Tino like that.
We gotta
see if you're an upgrade first, CGF.
Well, I mean Tito's a cool guy. No offense to him. I'm sure he was awesome, but you know, I you'll just have to see. That's all I can say.
So CGF is joining the show. We're going to try this out for a few weeks, see how it goes. If he wants to be part of Clapback, we'll go from there. But CGF, tell everybody a little bit about you, a little bit of background, where they can find you. So go ahead.
All right. Well, I went to school for journalism. I took bad advice. I did a few local newspaper jobs, paid me $8 an hour. I said, I'm not going to do this. Then after that, I went into marketing for a little while. I did some Bleacher Report in early 2010s. I covered Major League Baseball, which was interesting. I did that for about 3 years. They didn't pay me, so I said enough of this. And, you know, other than that, I've been on Twitter under a couple different accounts. I got back into talk about the Giants, which was my favorite team growing up. And here I am. So you'll find me on Twitter at CGF_NFL.
Welcome aboard, boss. Glad to have you tonight, for sure.
Great to join you guys.
I'm just going to call you CG. I know y'all were going back and forth on that. CG.
We already
CG
talked is. About the one syllable thing. I don't give a shit. Whatever you guys want to do, don't call me an Eagles fan. Whatever.
Don't call
me
an Eagles fan.
Yeah, that's we can definitely. Now. Yes.
Marv, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man, dude. The Rangers are basically playing a playoff game right now. It's tied up with the Hurricanes still 0-0, but a lot of good sports stuff going on, man. Rangers are on fire. I know your Mets are on fire right now. Yankees are trash.
Mets had a comeback last night.
Oh, you guys Mets fans?
I'm a Mets fan.
I like the Yanks.
God, poor guy. I'm going to tell you, that Buck Showalter guy is going to drive you crazy. Just wait until September, October when he put your number 5 starter in the 10th inning. To try to win you a big game, I
don't mind. It's a breath of fresh air right now for me as a Mets fan. So I'm all for it. I mean, it seems playing differently. Last night, I mean, I put on the game, and it was top of the 9-2 outs. I'm like, man, whatever. This game's practically over. So I flipped the channel. I was like, nah, let me go back. Let me watch it. And then it was a double.
I don't remember,
but I mean, it was unbelievable. And then Dom Smith got up, and then he dove to first base, beating Gallegos there. Arenado had the errant throw, and then Goldschmidt. It was just it was a heck of a comeback. And after Mets took the lead 3-2, Nimmo actually hit a home run. So to give him the lead 5-2, but yeah, that was some comeback win. I'm not used to it as a Mets fan, so usually we're on the opposite end.
I'll tell you, if you guys get DeGrom back, you know, him and Scherzer, that's gonna be a tough one too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, honestly, the two best pitchers in baseball. So We'll see. But yeah, Murphy, you were saying though. I really don't give a shit what you were saying. You were talking about hockey. I almost fell asleep.
No, it's just good sports time right now. It was dead.
Good
for
sports
a while,
time. So. The draft is 2 days away, Murph.
That's what I'm saying. Like
2 days.
playoff hockey, you got baseball kicking into gear, and you didn't even let me get to the draft part, bro. So yeah, I'm stoked.
Well, yes, you know, brought up my Mets, which is
a lot of good shit going on right now. So
brought up my Mets, which is a sensitive subject for me.
I mean, dude, the Mets are better than the Yankees. I mean, CG doesn't like Buck, but like, I'm jealous y'all have Buck. So,
I've lived through it. I lived through 1995, Seattle Game 5.
I get it. Division series. But like,
put Jack McDowell in there, and it was all over. And luckily, they fired his ass and brought in Joe Torre, because we probably would have lost the next year if they didn't do that. So, we'll see. We'll see.
Where Buck goes, though, he has pretty good success. So, I'm not worried about it. Murph was actually kind of jealous that we got Buck. So, that worked out, though.
Well, I do agree. Aaron Boone is horrible. I am really surprised he's still there.
Well, at the Yankees, I mean, turned around all of a sudden, become this analytical organization where, you know, they manage by the spreadsheets.
And, I want Paul O'Neill. Like, my argument is I want Paul O'Neill as manager. That guy would light a fire under the asses of those guys. They're just too weak. And I'm the biggest Yankees fan, not as big as a Giant fan, but.
Cool. But you guys had that with Girardi. And, you know, I mean.
But, like, look what's happened since. Look what's happened since. We've gone soft as shit since Girardi left.
Yeah, but that was the whole point. They wanted to bring in a player's manager.
Well, look what we did with Daniel Jones's guy that, you know, had him off to a blazing start. Shit happens. Sometimes you just have to cut your losses and eat your crow, right?
All right. So let's start there. You brought up Daniel Jones. Giants have to make an option. Or they have to choose whether or not to pick up his option. Let me frame it that way. By next week, his fifth-year option. Dexter Lawrence is also another player that has to have his fifth-year option picked up. What are the Giants doing this week, Murph? Let's start with you. At 5-7, what do you expect Thursday night?
So, I mean, I think I told you earlier this week, I'm going to break this down into three little segments. I think there's a dream. I think there's a think. And I think there's a want. And so for me, the dream is Thibs or Hutch fall to us. I want one of those beasts. Well, two best players in the draft, in my opinion. What I think is going to happen is, I think I told you earlier this week a little bit something different, but I think it's going to be OT and I'm still going back and forth on 7. OT at 5 is what I think. I don't know at 7. I'll just go with what I said earlier this week. Trade 7. And, you know, I would like the OT at 5, obviously. We know why. But I want the wide receiver at 7, man. And the reason being is because normally I'm very much against this, but I think we need to fix our offense now, and there's no waiting. I actually already expect our defense to take a little bit of a step back because they actually weren't that bad last year. They had their issues, but they weren't a bad unit. But I think you have to fix Daniel Jones. And right now we really only have one wide receiver, in my opinion, that's reliable. And I don't even know if he is reliable, and that's Kenny Galladay. And he really wasn't reliable last year. So it's a very sketchy wide receiver unit. So I'll leave it with saying I don't think they'll take a wide receiver at 7, but I think that the Giants are investing in it, at least two pass catchers this weekend.
Well, you brought up pass catchers, Murph, and your boy Kadarius Toney is back. Our own, well, not ours, but our good friend Bobby Skinner broke the news himself yesterday, stating that Kadarius Toney has actually been in town since Saturday and has been at the facility. So we know that Bobby's connected. Bobby has a few relationships there with some of the players. So, but hey, look, I think you bullying Kadarius Toney online and his coach may have helped, Murph. What do you think? Are you taking credit?
Of course, because, I mean, I take credit for everything. Actually, shit. Speaking of which, before we go into this, sources are telling me that Elon Musk will be reinstating the Clapback Sports account I hope so. The coming weeks.
It's just
going to take some time. Sources are telling me that the process and the paperwork are all being fired up now, but it is coming, folks. So just wanted to throw that out there. Mage cut me off on that earlier, rudely. But
look,
I did bully Kadarius Toney back into the New York Giants facility.
So coming back to the clapback stuff real quick, I actually submitted an appeal, over the weekend. I said that, hey, look, please reinstate this account. If not, I'll just wait till Elon Musk buys Twitter. And then Elon Musk ended up buying Twitter. I submitted another appeal. I said, just release clapback now. It's going to happen sooner or later. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. And guess what, Murph? They still have not responded to my email yet. So I feel really good because every other time I get rejection pretty quickly on the appeal for clapback. So clapback might be back pretty soon. So I am feeling pretty damn good about that.
Sources are telling me it's in the works. So
I hope so. CG.
Yo.
We don't know where you stand currently with picks 5 and 7. So let's start there. And then I got a follow-up question.
All right. Well, we got to start with Daniel Jones because you spoke a little bit about that. And his options due next week. It's 22.3 million. So if you decline that option and he has a really good season, which is highly possible, you're going to be talking about at least 29.7 million for his franchise tag. And that is based on 2022 numbers. That's not based on the numbers next year. So there's a lot of camps. There's definitely the camp out there that wants to get rid of Daniel Jones. So, and then there's people like myself who think the guy was just given a really bad rap so far throughout his career, bad offensive line, incompetent coaching, you know, trying too hard. I mean, go down the list, but to get back to your original question and talking about the draft,
let me stop you for one second, yep. CG, and then we could get going here. I just want to let our guest in.
Sure.
And then we can continue with your thought here. All right. So while we wait for Mr. Chad Forbes to join us, Ged, continue with so you mentioned about Daniel Jones. What do you want the Giants to do at 5 and 7 here, CG?
So quickly, looking at how it looks right now, I think the first two picks to Jacksonville and the Detroit picks are going to be edge rushers. You can kind of pick either, you know, Hutchinson or Trayvon, you know, Walker. Those are probably going to be interchangeable there. Number three, I think it's going to be Ekwonu, because everything I'm hearing about Houston going through their spaces, reading the beat writers, they seem to be headed in that direction. One wild card there could be top corner, it could be Sauce Gardner, it could be Stingley, but right now I think that's what three is looking like. Four, Jets are a big wild card. I think the Jets, I've met with Thibodeau, they would probably run up to the podium and get him based on what I'm hearing, but also don't discount a tackle there, Evan Neal. Any way you look at it, I think the Giants at five will have their choice between either Neal or Thibodeau. I think Neal's going to be available, even though the Giants have said outwardly that they like Charles Cross. I think they'll go Neal at five if he's there. And at seven, it really depends on what happens at six. You know, Carolina's been talking about going for a quarterback. I've been hearing a little different recently that they may delay that and maybe go for a tackle, which of course would prompt the Giants to go for a tackle at five because they won't want to lose in case, you know, Charles Cross or whatever, depending on how the first couple ones go. So at seven, I could see going wide receiver, but I really think if Sauce Gardner's there, I think that's what the pick will be. So those are my choices for 5 and 7.
All right. Well, we do have our guest joining us, none other than Giants insider Chad Forbes. Chad, how are you?
I'd hardly call myself an insider, but it's great to be back with you guys.
Well, you're certainly the Giants insider to us. You probably know more than the actual Giants insider account. So
he's a clapback insider.
The clapback insider.
The clapback insider. That's it.
I'm not sure if I want to do anything where I'm associated with you, Murph. So, I mean, Chad, that's up to you if you want to put yourself out on that limb.
New Murph, huh?
New Murph.
I'll tell you what, I disagree with our last guest there, and I do not know. My name is Chad Forbes.
Actually, CGF is a new part of Clapback Sports. Unfortunately, we lost Tino, so CJF will be joining us on some of the podcasts going forward. So he was just giving us his initial thoughts on 5 and 7, which I did want to ask you, you know, a little bit about the trade talk and about what you're hearing with the Giants, especially at 5 and 7, or even the people in front of them.
So I don't see the Texans are in on corners. They're saying that, but ultimately I see the Jaguars have a disagreement right now, right? And Tony Pauline's great at this stuff, right? Leaking all the information. And he says that Doug Peterson wants Aquano. The owner likes, you know, likes Aiden Hutchinson, which means his son, Tony Khan, I think he's an analytics genius, but also runs, you know, some sort of wrestling league, wants Hutchinson, which makes sense. And then the general manager likes Trayvon Walker. But let's not remember now. 3 months ago, right, it was all about, can the new coach work with the general manager, right? So Doug Peterson is going to make the pick. They're going to take Aquano. The question is, can they trade down a little bit and get a little bit of extra capital? So I think when the Giants are coming up on the board, they'll go, the three guys that will be gone are, well, four guys, Sauce, Aquano, Hutchinson, and Walker. So they'll be sitting there with Neal, Cross, Garrett Wilson, right? But they're not going to have access to Sauce Gardner. The Jets are going to take him.
What about Thibodeau?
Thibodeau's off the board.
Yeah, all right, so – I mean, you bring up the Jaguars. Let's talk about the Jaguars first real quick. So
I could tell you with firm conviction that Kayvon Thibodeau is not on the Giants board.
Yeah. Or no, excuse me. Wait, Kayvon or
Kayvon Thibodeau? Kayvon Thibodeau is not on the Giants board. No.
So it came out today that the Giants
have, Chad.
So it came out today that the Giants have been doing extra homework around Kayvon Thibodeau. So you're saying that's all smoke.
No, everyone's doing extra homework on him because the questions that nobody will discuss are real, and they're concerning. And it's not just, oh, he has cryptocurrency and he's got a personality. There's some real issues there, and it's his entire personality. It's the play strength. It's the lack of effort. There's other issues that are off the field that really concern the Giants, and they're not going to go in that direction. He's off their board. They actually have Jermaine Johnson ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau.
Chad, I have a question for you. In regards to what's been going on with Tony recently, do you think that by any chance might have some sort of play into why the Giants may not want Thibodeau in the draft?
Yes, 100%. And they want really clean character guys. And that's why, like, Charles Cross is not a bad character guy, right? But he's a little bit more immature than Evan Neal. And you sit down with Evan Neal and you're like, oh my God, this guy's only been out of high school for 3 years. He seems like a grown man. The Giants like that. It's the same thing with Garrett Wilson. Jermaine Johnson is not to the same extent, but they want really clean character guys. And they're not looking for like choir boys, but they're looking for like really guys that football is important to them. They're smart enough. They get it. And Kayvon Thibodeau just didn't do that for them. They really like Trayvon Walker and Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner's character might be the best of the top 10 prospects in this draft. He's off the charts good. But Thibodeau rubbed people the wrong way. And so did Charles Cross a little bit. But Garrett Wilson, A-plus character.
Do you think if it came down to Neal and Cross, do you think the Giants would pick Cross over Neal or vice versa?
See, what's interesting is if somehow Sauce Gardner got to 5, right, the Giants have a decision. Do we take Sauce Gardner? Say Sauce Gardner, Cross, and Neal are all available, right? Do we take Gardner because we love him and then have to take either one of the guys the Panthers don't take? Because we know the Panthers might take a left tackle, right? So do they like, I guess, Cross enough to say, let's take Gardner and roll the dice? But there's a chance the Panthers would take Cross over Evan Neal because he has a little bit more projectable athleticism, and the general manager loves that. But I think they really like Neal.
I want to stay on this cornerback talk for a second because, I mean, obviously the elephant in the room is Bradbury. So do we really feel like the Giants are going to invest into a corner without moving Bradbury this high? I can't see it, Chad. I can't.
If they fall in love with Sauce Gardner, and the problem is the defensive coordinator, how influential is he in the meetings, right? Because we know that Wink Martindale wants corners. He just, you know, last year his corners all got hurt and his defense fell apart. So you got to give him corners. So it comes down to how influential is he versus how does the general manager and the head coach look at long-term team building. And what I think is really important, we have Tony, right? He's a problem, okay? He might be great, but he might flame out in a year. In a year from now, if Daniel Jones isn't the quarterback of the future, Kenny Galladay is gone, Sterling Shepard's gone, Slayton's gone, maybe Tony's been traded. But you need a wide receiver, right? And would you rather have like a guy like Jalen Tolbert or Alec Pierce in round 2? or just say, sorry, our offense has been terrible for the last 2 years. We're averaging 15 points a game. Let's handle tackle and wide receiver in round one and then focus on defense later.
Oh, I mean, you and I talked about it the other day, Chad. You got to fix this offense. And you're right. Even if this wide receiver isn't playing with Daniel Jones down the stretch, you're getting your number one guy on the board. You have a wide receiver for your next guy. I do think Galladay is part of the plan, but the rest of the guys are question marks. There's no denying that.
But they're not going to pay Kenny Galladay another $18 million in 2023, right? And he's not worth that kind of money. But I guess my perspective on it is if you look at a year from now, even if Daniel Jones is still here, you still need a wide receiver, right? Like you need him now,
and there's no argument that you don't.
Right, no. And if you were going for the long-term game, I like James Williams more than I like Garrett Wilson. But Garrett Wilson's healthy, and he's a smart guy. I heard an interview with him today on the NFL Sirius Radio. What a smart young man. I mean, you know, they're going to fall in love with him. You just know. You hear these guys talking like, oh, yeah, the Giants are going to love him.
Now, I will say if we did trade out of that spot at seven and just move back a couple spots, I don't know who it would be, but if somebody was moving up for a quarterback, I like Jameson Williams a lot. I think he's going to be a playmaker in this league. I really do. The Giants don't have time to wait, but if you move back and he's still on the board, man, I'm taking him, man. I'm taking him. I expect this team to take a step back on defense, but there's no waiting on this offense because there's too many guys that have to prove that they're part of this organization.
I don't know if Chad had a rebuttal, but he's muted right now. Chad, I wanted to ask you a question about the possible trade scenarios here for the New York Giants. So we're hearing about, you know, Pittsburgh coming up to seven. There's rumors that the Baltimore Ravens are possibly looking to move up as well. What are you hearing about trade scenarios involving either the fifth or the seventh pick for the New York Giants?
I don't see the Giants moving out of there. I think they got to get two premium players. And I think the action is probably going to start towards 8, 9, 10 rather than at 7. And that's just my general view. I think Malik Willis, someone could trade up for him. I think the Steelers want him desperately. They could get jumped by maybe somebody like the Lions or maybe the Saints want him. But, you know, ultimately, I see Malik Willis ending up with the Steelers. And I think they'll probably trade up maybe 4 or 5 slots to get him.
Yeah. So I have a question about trade up. So you just, brought that up. Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles, because you know they traded up last year with Devontae Smith, there's been a lot of chatter about them possibly trading up in front of the Giants both at 4 and at 6. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, they like Thibodeau. We all know that. They like Sauce Gardner. They want one of them. They know that they could trade up from 15 and then still trade down from 18 and reaccumulate all the picks that they had. Because there's probably 16 to 18 guys who actually have first round grades in this class. So if you're sitting at 18 ahead of the Saints at 19, you can still trade down from there and reaccumulate. So I could see them trading into like 6 or 8 for Kayvon Thibodeau, or maybe Sauce Gardner's not going to get there, but they left him too.
So basically what you're saying at 5 or 7 is that the Giants are going to look at one of the tackles, either Neal or Cross, and they're targeting Sauce Gardner. So that's what Giants fans should expect the 2 picks to be then, correct?
Right, unless, you know, Trayvon Walker falls to 5, that changes the dynamic a little bit. It really depends on who's available. That scares
me, man. I don't know. A guy moving up the charts, you know, is simply because of athleticism. I mean, it works out sometimes, but I'm nervous. I think Kayvon Thibodeau is more of a sure thing, even with the question marks that they have. I mean, his film doesn't lie. The guy's been an absolute beast. He was expected to be the number one overall pick this year before, you know, any of these meetings. It's a little disconcerting.
I agree with you, Maj. And here's how I look at it, right? On Sean McVay's play sheet, right, it says like, stick to your guns and, like, don't take undue risk or something like that, right? You always put something on his little play sheet that tells him to remind him of something, right? If I were the Giants, I'd be telling myself, take good football players, not projects. They don't need any projects. They need good football players, right? Trayvon Walker right now is a projection. Maybe a team can develop him and he turns into an all-pro and we're all saying, oh, gosh, why did he go first overall? But the Giants need good football players. They don't need more projects. We've been doing that for way too long.
I agree with you. I actually had this conversation with somebody else earlier regarding the quarterbacks from this class, right? Everybody is seemingly in love now with Malik Willis because of his traits, the upside. I don't know if this is a class where I'm drafting a guy, possibly six overall, because of his upside. This is a quarterback class where I'm probably drafting a guy with the highest floor because I know what I'm guaranteed to get out of him for possibly the rest of his career. That upside has so much bust potential, so much that can go wrong. I mean, what are your takes on the quarterbacks this year, Chad?
To counter that, Josh Allen was a project, and so is Patrick Mahomes, and they worked out pretty good. So Malik Willis excites me, right? You know, he's got a lot of physical traits. They're just – you can't coach that. So, but would I rather have Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett? I mean, Kenny Pickett, what's his upside? Like,
maybe a Chad Pennington,
right? I'd rather go to Malik Willis where I say maybe he becomes Josh Allen. If he's not, you know what? If you draft a guy who turns into Chad Pennington, you're probably going to get fired anyway. You might as well go for the upside.
Chad, so is there any chance that the Giants are going to draft a quarterback here? And that kind of segues into 1A, 1B question. What have you been hearing about the Giants in regards to the fifth-year option on Daniel Jones?
No, I don't think they're going to pick up the fifth-year option. And, you know, I don't think his side expects them to do that. And regarding quarterback, I see some Sam Howell links, which would be kind of funny to be like UNC-Duke rivalry in New York. But a guy that I like in, like, round six, E.J. Perry from Brown. He's really mobile, kind of projects as a career backup, but – you know, we watched Mike Glennon play last year, and if you could find a guy who's a competent backup, that might be worth a sixth-round pick.
I mean, so you can't pick up the option, right? You can't.
I disagree. Honestly, you're not taking a quarterback in this class. I mean, if what Chad is saying is true, too, that the Giants aren't even thinking about trading back, you're not going to be in a position to take a quarterback next year. So then you're positioning yourself for 2024. You might as well pick up Daniel Jones' option at $22 million, which honestly, compared to some of the starting dollars out there for quarterbacks, is kind of a bargain.
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually think it's a flip of the coin. But what it comes down to is the franchise tag. Say, Daniel, say you don't pick up the option, you have to tag Jones. That'll be $30 million. So it's really an $8 million decision in terms of did we make the right or wrong one. So, you might as well just go with the idea of having flexibility, not pick up the option, say we can put the franchise tag on him next year if he exceeds our expectations.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, you're also talking about $22 million in a season in which the Giants are going to have some cap flexibility, and it's $22 million for 1 year. It comes off the books after 2023 anyway. So it's not like you're carrying any dead money into 2024 if it doesn't work out at the quarterback position.
Right, that's true. That's a good point, but I'm a Daniel Jones truther, so I always lean on I think he could be a very good player in this league, and they haven't given him enough support. So it's tough for me to say what I would do, but I think you focus on giving yourself as much flexibility because you see what happened with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland or Sam Darnold in Carolina where they picked up the option. Now they're saying, oh, shoot.
I think one of the things that might be consideration is the Tyrod Taylor signing because if you – let's say you extended him – 1 year with the picked up the option. If you didn't have the Tyrod, you know, Taylor situation for one more year, then you're kind of, you could have Daniel Jones as a backup, you know, kind of nursing, right. You know, so I kind of see where that is.
And can I tell you guys my favorite mid-round pick for the Giants?
Absolutely.
Jamari Saylor, guard, Georgia.
I knew you were going there. Why is that, Chad?
So he went to Pace Academy with Andrew Thomas, his roommate, his freshman year at Georgia, basically his little brother. Andrew Thomas is beating the drum. And he's the one player in the organization that actually might matter, saying, I want this guy, I want this guy. Put him at left guard. We got the left side figured out for 10 years.
I mean, do we think that he's going to last that long?
What's that?
Because a lot of people do have him kind of fringe third round.
Right, pick him at 67 or trade up a little bit to get him. But he would be a great solution to left guard.
I got another question for you, actually. Do you think we stay put at these picks or are we picking something up? In my opinion, I do think we pick up at least one pick.
Yeah, they'll probably get one more, whether it's from 36 or – I don't see them doing it in the first round. I just think it's really tough to move in the first round. But eventually we know they're going to do some trade with the Bills where they move down and get an extra pick.
Who who do you think that the Giants are targeting at pick 36?
I think Arnold Deckby from Penn State, Kyler Gord if he was there, maybe a wide receiver. But I think that if they go wide receiver, it's all about like looking at the board kind of horizontally. So say you go wide receiver and tackle, like I think they should do in the first round. That means you're looking for a pass rusher and a corner in the second round. So I think Kyler Gord, Arnold Deckby, Drake Jackson. They won't like Drake Jackson. I like him a lot, but they won't like him. Maybe Chad Muma in the second or third round. He kind of reminds me a lot of Matt Milano, who they had up in Buffalo. But Jalen Tolbert, Alec Pierce. You just look at guys every year. And, you know, the one time that I got really right was Carl Banks gave me a bunch of shit about it. But I said that the Giants were going to draft B.J. Hill and Lorenzo Carter in the third round, and they ended up doing it. You can really, when you figure these teams out, and the Giants are a new group, so it's hard to figure out what they love. But you can just figure out. You look at guys and say, oh, yep, he looks like a Giant. He looks like a Patriot. He looks like a Bill.
I kind of want to ask you that, though, too. I mean, what have you heard? What is the feeling about Joe Shane in that building there? Any is what Murph and I were talking about a couple of days ago is how much of this Charles Cross stuff is actually smoke, right? If it's actually a leak, that's a problem because it shows that the Giants still have a rat in the building. But I don't think that Joe Shane is dumb enough to do that unless he purposely leaked something to see who it would be. But what are you hearing about Joe Shane and just overall this new regime?
A lot of the leaks about players teams like are agent-driven, right? They're trying to push their client stock up. But the one thing I've heard, and this is from somebody who does not like the current regime, they're fired by the previous one. And he said the one refreshing part about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is, and a lot of guys in the NFL have big egos. He said these guys don't have big egos. They're actually, you know, everybody says we want to be collaborative. These guys are actually collaborative. They're working hard together, which I think is kind of refreshing. And they're working through a little bit of an archaic organizational culture in terms of the Giants. They got to modernize it. But I really think this guy's pretty bright. And, you know, I thought free agency was tough because he just didn't have a lot of cap room. So it's like, you know, they weren't sensational signings, but that's what you can do when you're stretched against the cap.
Yeah, I wasn't that worried about the free agent signings for that reason. Murph, I have another question, but go ahead, I'll let you go.
Well, mine has to do with the salary cap. It's just like, that's why I have so many questions about Bradberry and what the deal is here.
Oh, all right. So I'll tie in my question to that then. What are you hearing about James Bradberry and Kadarius Toney in terms of the trade market?
To me, and I didn't hear anything about this, they were trying to light a bit of a fire under Tony's ass, right? They want him to get focused on football and what's important. With Bradberry, they would trade him, but $13.5 million is a lot to pay for a corner, especially because it's a one-year hit, right? It's not prorated out over 4 or 5 years. So Bradberry, maybe after the draft, like say the Bills don't hit corner in the first or second round, maybe Bradberry can get dealt there. Or you know, Commanders, the Redskins, whatever you want to call him, he could fit there. But he really is he's a good corner, but he's not a great player. And he's not 30 yet, so maybe they could find a trademark for him, but I don't think it's a big return.
So I was talking to some Ravens fans, and they thought he actually would fit pretty well into Wink's scheme. And they were saying that Jimmy Smith and Marcus Peters played a lot of zone last year when they were putting Humphreys up in man press. So, I mean,
I agree with that. What Wink wants to play, I was talking about it earlier. He wants to play a lot of cover three boundary lock where you have one guy playing man, one guy playing zone, and kind of funnel the zone towards the safeties and then mix kind of combination your coverage into it. So, yeah, Bradberry would fit. It's just $13.5 million, a lot to pay.
Well, and that's kind of at first I was like, there's no way. When Logan got cut, I'm like, all right, there's no way you can cut Bradberry too, right? Like, there's no way. Just from a money standpoint. And then here we are, and in my opinion, like, I don't think leverage can be restored. I think it's all dead. Everyone knows we're cutting Bradberry if we can't trade him, right? So in my opinion, I do think that they might just tear his deal up and redo it, and he might be here.
Murph, let me ask you a question, right? Where are the teams going right now? Would you rather put Aaron Robinson and Damari Mathis? He's a corner I like in the fourth round.
Well, that's kind of why I agree, Chad. Like, I believe in A-Rob.
Take that $11, $12, $13 million and roll it forward and have more cap room next year. That's
a decision. I believe in A-Rob, so I'm with you there.
But see, I would rather go with a bunch of young guys like Damari Mathis, the one I want, or him, or Zion McCollum, or something. And they're gonna have growing pains. They're not James Bradbury. But I would rather have that $11.5 million for next year, hopefully when we're competitive.
Oh, and I'm totally with you. If we're talking about wants versus what we think is going to happen, I'm totally with you. But at this point, like, what do you do, man? You're not getting shit on the trade market for him, in my opinion.
Did you hear they want to trade Darius Slayton now?
I'm fine with that.
I don't know what they're going to get for him. I mean, a sixth-round pick, seventh.
Yeah, I mean, who wants use to save $2 million?
Use them to move up and around or something, but – I mean, as far as Bradbury
the reason for wanting to move Darius Slayton is because they're going to clear some cap space there. I believe it's 2.25.
Yeah.
And you know, the other guys in that boat is Julian Love.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about defenders. I mean, I don't know if they can necessarily get rid of Julian.
Who's going to play safety? I mean, Chad, right now, I think, didn't they have Brian Lewerke playing safety at the
okay.
I mean, who's going to play safety?
I'll draft Tyson Anderson in the fifth round. I'll pay him.
Uh-oh.
You're on mute, bro.
You're on mute. Tyson Anderson in the fifth round.
Chad wants to get young. I know what Chad.
I want to get young. Get young. Yeah. See if we can develop a bunch of talent. And
I'm with you.
If
I'm
they miss, then whatever.
I get that. I don't know, man. I just like it. Just all I hope for
in 2022 is competent offense. I want to score at least 22 points a game. That's it.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I mean, you know, the defense, but it's a little concerning though too because you look at Baltimore's defense and what Wink did without a secondary. His defense wasn't very good. Even if this offense can get rolling with Daniel Jones, let's say we are even putting up, and I'll up the ante, Chad. Let's say we are putting up 25, 28 points a game. I mean, then we feel like, oh, wow, right? It's exciting because now our offense is fixed, but now we got to adjust the defense again. That's why this Bradbury situation is – honestly, it's so difficult. Because the regime needs to know what they're going to do. I think the best scenario for the Giants is to include Bradbury in some sort of deal, almost like the NBA would, right? Like, take on this player, take on the salary. I know there's a dead cap associated with it, but sometimes the teams will pick up some of the money to make the deal. And maybe make a trade on the draft. Maybe move back from, you know, 36 to, I don't know, 38, 40, wherever it might be.
You know my dream is, Maj? My dream is that week two, we go down to Dallas on Sunday Night Football, and we play a 38-35 shootout with them. And I don't care if we win or lose. If we can just score 38 or 35 points, I will say these guys are have us on the right track.
I agree.
Well, that's the allure of bringing in Brian Daboll and having Brian Daboll be the coach, and then bringing in Kafka from Kansas City, and then having Tierney here as the quarterbacks coach from Buffalo. That's all well and dandy, and that gets us excited, but we're so jaded as Giants fans that until we actually see the product on the field, and this is why Murph in part wants a wide receiver at seven. Same thing with you. You like the idea, Jeff, on wide receiver at seven.
No, but here's the thing, Maj, right? They hired Coughlin in 2004. They won in 2007, right? The Giants are not winning the Super Bowl in 2022. I want to be competing for Super Bowls by 2025, 2026, 2027. That's it. That's the entire goal of the season. The only way to do that is to fix this offense.
But here's the problem with that, Chad. So from 2020, you said 2025. We're now in 2022. So that gives us 3 years, right?
Yep. I want to be competing, but I want to be legitimately competing for Super Bowls. Not we got into the wild card.
We've had three coaches in the last 6 years.
I know. It's wild, right?
I mean, it's just, it doesn't. And again, this is the problem with being a Giants fan, especially over the last decade or so, is that we haven't seen this. We haven't seen the success under the cough whenever. We're probably all old enough here, except for Murph, to have seen the Bill Parcells era as well. Like, we're kind of spoiled as Giants fans. We got to see five Super Bowls, four Super Bowl victories for the most part. But the newer generation, Generation Z, and I mean, these guys haven't. I mean, they're jaded and marked by players like Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, the marketability, the electricity of a player. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, there's fans that want to move on from Daniel Jones because they're excited by Malik Willis's arm, even though he played at Liberty, was in a one-read system. All the same things that they knocked Daniel Jones for currently. It's just, it's the sake of change for the sake of change. And it's just, I don't know, man.
Marge, who do you want at 5-7? Ideal world, the draft falls the way you want. Who do you want?
Ideally, I would like to trade back with the Saints. I like to give the Saints 5, 4, 16, and 19.
I need more.
But you're not getting more. You're getting an additional first this year, and I'm okay with that.
But see, that's bullshit because if you're trading with the Steelers, you're getting more.
Steelers only giving you one pick. The Saints are giving you two, man.
They got to give you one.
Well, I'm talking about this year.
Miles, let me ask you a question. Would you say you just took Evan Neal at 5, you got tackle figured out, right?
Okay.
Would you trade 7 to the Steelers for picks 20, 84 in their first round pick next year?
For 20, 84 in the first round pick next year? I probably would. I would too. The thing is, I'm not that excited by too many players that might be left on board. It's going to be tough for me, Chad, if Kayvon Thibodeau was sitting there at 5 and the Giants truly pass on him. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's going to feel like passing on Josh Allen all over again for Daniel Jones, isn't it? I mean, this was a guy that was supposed to be a number one overall prospect. He's sitting there for the Giants, gift-wrapped, and the Giants pass on him because, you know, they don't like some things that he had to say in an interview.
Thibodeau's going to go to Atlanta or Seattle.
But, so in my situation, right, you trade – if assuming that –
Atlanta, Seattle, or Philly trades up.
So if Evan Neal and Charles Cross are on the board, and let's say you trade out with the Saints and you know that the Saints are going quarterback, you're still guaranteed one of those two players, even if the Carolina Panthers happen to go tackle. If you got them both on your board pretty close, that's fine then. So I would then take either Charles Cross at 7. At 16, I'm looking at Zion Johnson or Jordan Davis, if he's still there. And then 19, I'm either looking at Zion Johnson or a wide receiver. You said it. This team needs talent. I mean, I know Murph wants to, you know, gouge the Saints for next year's first, which they don't have, a first in 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027. It's just not happening. It's not realistic.
That's bullshit, man. If you want your quarterback bad enough, you'll pay for him.
But it doesn't – but still, you're getting talent in this year's draft, Murph. Do you know what a Zion Johnson, a Charles Cross, and let's say Garrett Wilson could possibly do for this team this year and into the future?
I'm not saying you're wrong, but
– problem is you don't have Mike Ditka. You know, it's not 2000 anymore, Ricky Williams. No one's going to make that trade. You know, I mean, if unfortunately,
was the last trade in the top 5?
I was talking about the you remember the Ricky Williams trade?
I actually saw a tweet about it earlier today. What was the last big trade in the top 5 of the draft?
I mean, the Rams went up for Goff, right? The Eagles went up for Wentz.
Damn, it really has been that long.
Yeah, I mean, the most recent one would be the Jets, but the Jets only moved up, three spots, and they only gave up 3 seconds to do so.
They gave up 3 seconds to move up 3 slots. Like, again, you can get more for that pick at 5.
Murph,
you can
only get what someone is willing to pay. That shit that you took earlier today, you may think it's worth $1,000. Somebody else looks at it and says, "Not shit. I'm not giving you anything for it."
But we're going back. Let's go back to the first overall pick, right? The Jaguars. They want Ike Okwuegh, right? That's what Doug Peterson wants. Okay. Why don't they just say to the teams like the Texans, the Jets, sitting at 3 or 4, or even the Lions, and say, "We're going to trade down a discount. Who wants to play?" Right. This idea that you have to like get appropriate value because people will judge you on it. No, screw that. We know the Jaguars want Okwuegh. Trade down to 3 or trade down to 4. You can still get them.
I agree. And if you can pick up an additional pick this year, so what? Murph is just obsessed with wanting to get all these future picks, and it's not happening.
Well, if we're trading with the Saints, I need Adam Trautman. That's for sure.
No, but, no, we're the Giants tight end is Jeremy Ruckert, the pride of Long Island.
Yeah, I hope so, man, but I don't think so. I don't think we end up getting
so, I do want to ask you then. I mean, right, so at 36, you mentioned a lot of names that could be available. Some names you didn't mention, Boye Mafe, if he's still there. I don't know what your thoughts are on Leo Chanel, but would you prioritize Trey McBride in that second round over possibly going one of these wide receivers like Christian Watson if he's available?
I kind of like the tight ends that are going to be available on day three, whether it's Charlie Kohler, maybe Jeremy Ruckert.
Daniel I like the Bellinger. Kid out of Maryland, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's hurt, actually, so that could hurt his stock. But I don't know. I think that you got to hit offense a lot. And I really like the Penn State edge rusher. I like Drake Jackson. The Giants won't like him. I know they'll like Chad Mumma, but they probably won't take an off-ball linebacker, given they brought back Blake Martinez. Jalen Tolbert, maybe he's if they don't go wide receiver in the first round, or Alec Pierce. But, you know, and then Sailors. I mean, Jim Hardy Sailors, like, my guy. Like, put him next to Andrew Thomas and don't worry about the left side for 10 years.
Chad, how many offensive linemen do you think the Giants are going to take in this draft?
If they don't take two, that's a problem. They got to take at least two, and I would take three.
I would totally take a top tackle. I'd take a guard, and then I would do a developmental tackle somewhere in the mid to the back end of the draft. That's what I would do, probably.
I don't think you can really get a developmental tackle in the draft, because the guys that can really play tackle, they go in the first three rounds. I would go with more of a developmental center in case the guy that's not from Buffalo doesn't work out there and Gates doesn't get healthy. Like, you know, maybe like a Luke Fortner from Kentucky or Alec Lynch from Boston College, like the fourth or fifth or sixth round. But I'd love to see them get an extra pick, because I really think they need to flood the zone.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that, too. Who was your top center in this draft?
I'll tell you what. I like Tyler Linderbaum, but it's really close between him and Cam Jurgens, and closer than people want to admit. And if you view Zion Johnson as a center, because he's been, you know, trying to move there, and eventually most people think he will become a center, but probably start that as a career guard, Zion Johnson might be a better center prospect than Tyler Linderbaum.
Do you think the Giants are going to trade up from 36? Do you think there's any chance of that happening?
No, because I don't think you want to have 3 fifth-year options. They saw that in Buffalo where they had to pick up Edmonds and Josh Allen's option. There was like, oh my gosh, a one-year cap hit of like $48 million. So having more than two first-round picks, given that structure, is not ideal.
What about trades? You know, we've talked about Bradbury. We talked about Saquon Barkley a little bit this offseason. Is there going to be any surprises, you think, in this draft where the Giants trade someone we don't expect?
The only guy that I could see having a little bit of value is Dexter Lawrence. But I don't think they'll move him. The only way they can be competitive, given what they're going to do on defense, which is not invest much in it, they got to be able to stop the run. So I don't see them moving Dexter. And I think they'll pick up his option. I could see them moving the Notre Dame safety. What's his name? To the Raiders.
Love.
Hamilton?
Love.
Love.
What is Dexter's not going to play nose in his defense, correct?
It's kind of like an odd front, so he'll continue to play where he's playing. And I actually think they're pretty damn good on the interior. And, you know, the rookie they drafted last year, 50, the Georgia guy, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's
they're not player. They're not bad on the front.
I still want Jordan Davis.
You're not worried about the interior of the defensive line?
They need a nose tackle, but you can find one of those. They brought in Justin Ellis. He's a good player. You can find two down run stoppers, right? Like Austin Johnson, the money he got from the Chargers was just crazy, right? Like given the limited reps he had, they'll find someone to play there. You know, the Giants figured out a way to stop the run. The real question is, what can they do really on third down?
Well, and they surely need some coverage linebackers. I mean, there's no denying that. They got nobody who can drop.
Do you guys like the Georgia? What's the Georgia linebacker they got? Not the one they drafted last year.
Ted?
The guy that started last year, was a seventh round pick. I think it was Mystery
Crowder. Crowder. Crowder can't drop in coverage.
He's okay, right? He's a good player.
I mean, he's okay, but like, he's not your guy that's going to be in this alpha and be like your coverage guy in Wink scheme. He's more of a
downhill guy. He's a pretty good seventh round pick, though.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, definitely one of the better draft picks of the Gettleman era.
Mr. Irrelevant, too.
He was the last Giants draft picks overall in the last.
The guy that I'm really curious to see how he fits in the system is Cam Brown, because he's got a ton of talent. And I love guys that come in their first couple of years and dominate on special teams. It's like when you show you can do what he did on special teams, it means you got some talent and can play in the league. I'm interested to see how he does in Wink's game.
I was hoping that PG was going to take advantage of him and put him in the middle, man. He's so lanky and fast. Like, honestly, I'm not saying he's our answer for a coverage linebacker, but he's just an athlete. So why not put him at inside linebacker?
Right, he kind of feels like a guy that can match up with tight ends.
Yes, he's perfect for that. Or, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not going to put him at safety, but honestly, like, he's almost like an oversized money backer.
So, Chad, do you think that the main feeling inside of MetLife right now is that last two years really was a byproduct of bad coaching, or do they feel like they just didn't have the talent or a combination of both?
Joe Judge's fundamental problem was he couldn't fix the offense, right? And you can't be a head coach in the NFL if your answer to fixing the offense is fire your offensive coordinator promoting Freddie Kitchens, right? He didn't have an answer. They were scoring 15 points a game. A lot of the problem was personnel, and Dave Gettleman didn't do a great job, right? And the problem with Dave Gettleman, which he gets a bad rap for, was he got the job because he sold the Giants on, we don't have to change much about the organizational culture. We can keep doing it the way we do, and I could fix it right away, right? And that's why they signed Nate Solder. That's why they took Saquon second overall. They wanted to fix it right away, right? Eli can still work. Rather than these guys come in and say, no, Rome's not going to be fixed in a day. We need to fix the salary cap. We need to get a lot of young, good players in here and establish our culture. And like that's how you do it. Like that's how the Seahawks did it. Every great rebuild starts with somebody that's actually being smart and telling the owner, I'm not just going to tell you we can fix it immediately to get the job. I'm going to tell you what you really need to hear. And this time, John Mara finally listened and said, yep, you're right.
It's funny you say that because the whole Giants Life episode on YouTube this week kind of ties in with that because they interviewed all the guys that basically came over from Buffalo. It's definitely a culture thing. It all starts there. Those guys signed there because of Dabble and because of Shane, not because of anything else.
I want to come back to a linebacker conversation real quick because the Giants let Lorenzo Carter walk. I thought Lorenzo Carter would have been a really good fit in Wink's system, kind of filling that edge outside linebacker position. But one guy I haven't heard a lot about that I think would be honestly a tremendous fit from Wink was Jalen Smith. He didn't get signed anywhere.
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just confused. I mean, especially with the type of coverage linebacker that he is. He almost kind of feels that Edmonds type for Buffalo, right?
Right, and he can also play in a gap. And I thought, literally, when they hired him, I was like, oh, that's perfect for Jalen Smith. Like, this might revitalize his career. And then I've been surprised they haven't re-signed him.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's signed anywhere, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, he's still out there. I mean, I advocate it. I think we talked about it here on the podcast, Murph, about Wink and – I was on it from the start to bring Jalen Smith back. I'm surprised that they haven't.
This goes back to the Bradbury thing, man. Like, they're going to sign players. Like, we need bodies regardless. So something's going to – some dominance is going to have to fall, right? Because Jalen Smith signing is a perfect thing because the draft's going to happen. We're going to have new players at the end of this week. But there's still going to be holes to be filled. I mean, I think – what did we say at the end of the season? We have 52 men on the roster. So, I mean, what, do they got to get to 90?
But I guess, yeah, that's a good point, Murph. And if you look at it, if you're like his agent, right? Yeah. If you re-sign for the veteran minimum, right, and then all of a sudden the Giants draft a linebacker in the second or third round, you basically, like, thrown away his opportunity to, like, find a good situation where he could potentially revitalize his career. If I were him, he had smart to wait till after the draft.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are going to wait. He's 33 years old, and, I mean – they're going to wait to see.
Jalen's just still young. He's like 27, 28.
Yeah, we're talking about 30 Smith.
What book am I looking at right here?
How are they going to afford to make all these moves? I mean,
I can't see the screen. It says arms. He has 33-inch arms.
You're a fucking moron.
I just looked at it. It was funny how the new general manager right next says, wait, fuck y'all.
It was funny how the general manager came in and said, I'm not going to restructure any contracts and, you know, kick can down the road. I'm going to, you know, do it the right way. And then immediately restructure Graham Goodell into Dory Jackson after he'd renegotiated the contracts for Shepard and Martinez.
Yeah, I think that's tough for the GM to do that, though. You never want to paint yourself into a corner and say that you don't want to do something and have to do it later on. But
right, but like, we knew he was going to eventually have to restructure. Yeah, you should look at the cap and said, it's going to happen.
The way I took it was that, you know, it wasn't his ideal situation to be able to do that.
But I'm still not happy with the Logan thing. I don't care. I understand the money part. Still not really thrilled about it.
I would have cut Kenny Golladay.
Fuck you, Chad. Why do you hate my guy so much?
Because he's terrible.
He's showing some leadership.
Golladay's going off this year. I'm telling y'all.
If Golladay hits 1,000 yards, Murph, I'll give you $100.
I don't know if he'll.
1,000 yards or 8 touchdowns.
I was going to say he's going to have 7 TDs this year.
Over under 7.5.
Well, him and Tony have a lead.
It was fun. I got to go to bed.
But all right, Chad.
I love appreciate this podcast, you, and you guys do a great job.
Thanks, Chad. Hey, man, Chad, before you go, you. So with 5-7, who are the Giants drafting?
Evan Neal, offensive tackle, Alabama. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver, Ohio State. Arnold Akebe, linebacker, Penn State.
Oh, so Jamari Sailor, three picks. All right,
Jamari Sailor, guard, Georgia. What am I going to do at 80? Some corner from a small school. Then I'm getting Jeremy Ruck from Ohio State. Those are my first 5 or 6 picks.
All right.
I like it.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it. So, CG, what did you think about what Chad had to say? Anything jump off the page at you? We lost him again. All right. What about you, Murph? Anything he said jump off?
No, I mean, I feel like he's pretty much aligned with us. It's just, I was thinking about it earlier. You know, you're standing in the shower and you have shower thoughts sometimes. And I've never been so, like, excited for a draft, I think, because of all the uncertainty. Like, with every team, not just the Giants.
See, you know, it's funny, though, because Chad was talking about it and – you know, he mentioned the Jaguars picks, and it's funny because the two names that he mentioned are the same exact two players that I've mentioned for the Jaguars. I mean, I remember when I mocked Ike Mukwonu to the Jaguars first overall, and everybody jumped down my throat and said that they weren't taking a tackle first overall.
You've been saying that.
Well, you got Cam Robinson, you signed Brandon Scherff. I mean, you have Walker Little. You don't really have a lot there. You can still take the tackle at one, but then obviously we knew that Balke was, obsessed with Trayvon Walker, so that's interesting there. The Lions at 2, I think, will probably be the easy decision.
Especially the Jags are taking an OT. I'm in line with you. I think they're taking but they're taking the Jags.
You think the Jags are taking Neal?
I think they're taking Neal. You think they're taking Ekwonu?
I did think that they're taking Ekwonu. I don't know. That's kind of – again, Chad kind of said this, and then somebody else that we know also mentioned this too, that the owner wants Aiden Hutchinson. That might end up being this splitting difference there. So,
sure.
I mean, so
– oh, you're talking Icky at 5.
No, I was talking Icky at 1.
Gotcha. Yeah, I personally think the Jags' best case scenario for them would be to protect Trevor Lawrence.
All right, give me your first 4 picks. Let's do this.
Yep. So, Evan Neal is my first pick. It locks him up with Cam Robinson and Scherff and goes ahead and protects Trevor Lawrence for them. 2, I've been saying it all along.
Wait, so you're going Evan Neal first overall?
Evan Neal is number 1 for me.
Okay.
I think that Pitt, Doug and co started off right. They get the protection for T-Law and do the smart thing.
All right. It's fair.
I mean, they still have Josh Allen.
So obviously
they took Chason or whatever his name is last year.
Yeah, but Chason hasn't really played all that well. But that's fair, though. I'm in agreement. So you're going Evan Neal first overall. Yeah. So second, you got obviously –
there's no way Hutch is getting past them.
Conspiracy theory.
No, man. I mean, does Hutch not just reek Dan Campbell player?
Yeah, but I mean,
whatever. If you want to call it a conspiracy theory, whatever. Fuck you.
You've been saying that the NFL wants to sell Aiden Hutchinson to Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's great business. You're a business, man.
Now, three, you got the Texans.
So, this one, I've been struggling on this. The roster is so shit over there, man. Like, it's so bad up and down. There's so many things they can do. And when I look at it, they have their cornerstone left tackle, right? They have Tunsil. I don't know how long, much longer, but they have Tunsil. It sounds like they're going to ride this Webb kid. Davis Mills kid. I think you got to take the corner. Because in my opinion, the most important positions of football in order is quarterback, left tackle, corner, edge. And they had no corners. Absolutely none.
All right, so which corner?
So they're going to go – I'm going to say they go Stingley.
All right. So now you got the Jets. What did Jets say?
Jets go pass rusher. I'm still saying they take Fibber.
Okay. That's fair. And then, so what do you want the Giants to do then? I have five. You still got Icky and Cross available.
So Icky and Cross are here. I want to go back to my want versus think thing. I would prefer that we take Icky here. More versatile. Okay. He can play right tackle, but if someone goes down, he can play the guard positions.
Carolina Panthers.
Cross.
And then what are the Giants do at seven? Sauce is still
there. They just
take Sauce. All right. So
not what I want.
Aquano and Sauce.
Because he's the best player on the board.
All right. CJ, was there anything that stuck out to you from the interview with Chad Forbes?
Well, the biggest thing that stuck out to me is the whole Kayvon Thibodeau thing, you know, saying that the Giants won't even consider him, that he's not on the draft board. I mean, it's very disappointing, and I just can imagine how the fan base is going to react on Thursday night if Thibodeau is sitting there when we draft at five.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like the Giants passing on Josh Allen all over again.
It's going to be John's boiling point Twitter for a month and a half, because I don't think – I understand it. I understand the mentality. I understand, especially what's been going on with Tony. I understand you don't want to bring in someone who might have some character concerns, but it's Kayvon Thibodeau. And he is probably that star blue chip pass rusher that we haven't had since Justin Tuck. So it's a big risk to pass on him. And at least in my mind, I understand it. And I understand that they may just don't want to go in that direction, but I really hope they reconsider it, because I think the fan base will lose their collective minds.
All right. So give us your picks through the first seven. So who do you have the Jaguars taking?
Okay. So I really look at the Jaguars and Detroit as 1A and 1B. I think they're going to take a pass rusher. I think either Walker or Hutchinson. It really depends on – and you know, you also – heard that possibly they may want to take Iquanu as well. Peterson sounds like he's high on him. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Walker, which will open up a whole wide amount of possibilities down the line. Then I think Hutchinson is pretty much chalk for two. Three, everything I've heard is Ike Iquanu from the blogs, from the beat writers in Houston. That's what it seems like they're headed in that direction. Jets are a huge wild card. I can see several things happening there. I can see the Jets trading out with the Philadelphia Eagles or someone else who may want to trade up for Thibodeau if he's sitting there, even Sauce Gardner. I mean, I think four could be a major pivot point in the draft. If the Jets do stay there, I think they could go tackle, because I think they're a little bit worried about Mekhi Becton's health. I could see them going possibly Evan Neal, which would, of course, either or, you look at Thibodeau or Evan Neal going there, it's going to break the Giants' hearts. At five, I think you're basically looking, I thought before this interview, I pretty much thought it would be Neal or Thibodeau. But if Thibodeau is not on a Giants board and Evan Neal is off the board, I think you're looking at either most likely Charles Cross, because they may want to protect themselves from losing a tackle there. Because especially if Iquanu and Neal are off the board, you're not going to want to pass Cross and then have the risk of Carolina taking him at six. And then at six, it's going to be either quarterback. I've been hearing that, you know, rumors, all the rumors about Kenny Pickett, that someone who might go there. Maybe someone will trade up for a tackle there if a tackle's sitting there still. But I actually think Carolina might go with a tackle at that point. And then at seven, depending on who's left, and I think if Sauce Gardner's there, if he's not gone, I think the Giants will go there. I think you're looking at either Sauce Gardner or maybe even the top wide receiver, maybe Garrett Wilson, maybe a Williams. I don't know. But I think it will be interesting to see what we do.
All right, I'll run down mine real quick before we end here. So Jacksonville Jaguars, Aiden Hutchinson. I think they're going to go with the surest prospect in the NFL draft right now on day one. My draft is going to be kind of boring because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of changes. I'm not buying the smoke. I'm not buying anything else that's being said, especially this week. The Detroit Lions at two with Aiden Hutchinson off the board select Sauce Gardner, second best player available in this draft. They go cornerback. If they try to correct the mistake with Jeffrey Okuda, they try, if Jeffrey Okuda can turn into his own, I think they now have a lockdown secondary, which would be great for them as well. Let's see. Number three. I don't remember. I'm going to switch this one up. Originally, I had Trayvon Walker. I am going to go with Ike Mukwunu here. I think the Texans do take Ike Mukwunu. I think he's the youngest tackle prospect in this draft, I believe, and one with the most upside. So the Jaguars are going to go Ike Mukwunu. The Jets are going to jet. I think that the Jets are going to take Jermaine Johnson, regardless of who's on that board there. I think that Robert Saleh might be infatuated with him, and I think that's what they're going to do. So I'm going with Jermaine Johnson. I am sticking to my fucking guns. Sorry, Chad Forbes, but the Giants are going to select Kayvon Thibodeau at five. Reason? I don't think they're afraid to take guys that have issues with anything. The Buffalo Bills took Gregory Rousseau last year. They took him late, a lot later than he was supposed to go. Again, had a great freshman year. COVID, didn't play. But I don't think they're going to really shy away from these guys. I'm not buying the whole Tony smoke either. I think they're excited to get the ball in Tony's hands. I get it. They might be a little frustrated. I'm not buying all the smoke, though. Sorry, guys. I'm just not. The Carolina Panthers, I do believe, and I agree with you, CJ, they're going with the tackle here. Evan Neal still on the board with Ike Mukwunu off. The Carolina Panthers get Evan Neal if they stay put. I think all the smoke about quarterback is them wanting to trade back. I don't think they're interested in drafting one at all. That leaves the Giants on the board at seven with Charles Cross. So, unfortunately, we do get Cross at seven because I'm not risking the opportunity of losing Kayvon Thibodeau at five. So, I'm not giving Dallas an opportunity to come up and get Kayvon Thibodeau from the Carolina Panthers. Fuck you, Dallas! So, that's it. Giants draft Kayvon Thibodeau at five. Charles Cross is what it is at seven. So that's my first picks there. At 36, we'll throw this in for a quick little bonus. Hey, look, the kid's there. If we get Kayvon Thibodeau and we get the tackle, taking the best wide receiver available. There you go, Murph.
Good job, fellas.
It depends, man. I mean, honestly, we'll see who's available, but you could
be. Let's say Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, and
I don't think Garrett Wilson's going to be on the board at 36.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying those guys are gone. I'm trying to think. Maybe.
So you could be looking at Jahan Dotson. You could be looking at Christian Watson still there.
Drake London
might be there. George Pickens is another
Sky one. Sky Moore might drop. He could.
Sky Moore is another one. George Pickens. Honestly, I like George Pickens, but people just seem turned off by him recently. Again, the Giants already have kind of that diva-esque wide receiver in the locker room. I like Christian Watson, man, at 6'4".
That's my guy.
I think Christian Watson has the ability to be that second wide receiver, especially at 6'4". If you do happen to miss Kenny Golladay for any extended period of time.
But that's the thing. He can do that, but he spent the majority of his time in the slot.
I agree. Like, so that's what versatile. I like about him. And then I see Kadarius Toney there too. And guess what? I'm not worried about it. If the Giants have an opportunity later on and Wandell Robertson happens to be there in one of those mid-round spots, take him.
I think the Giants have to come away with two pass catchers, no doubt, this weekend.
Here's a tough one.
Tight end, wide receiver, but I would even like to see three. Got to invest at least six picks in offense, in my opinion.
Here's a tough part, and I asked Chad this question, so I'll start with CG here. Trey McBride or a wide receiver, CG?
I think based on the current layout of the team, I think you really need to go think about Trey McBride. And I know we got Ricky Seals-Jones, and I know that you could probably get away.
Atkins as well.
And then I saw that as well. I think if you want to go big and you want to go with the offense there, I think you go Trey McBride. I think you take the top tight end off the board.
All right.
Because
let me ask you this question, CG. What do you think? Let's go with Christian Watson. What do you think Christian Watson's NFL player comp is?
That's a good question. I think
I know I may be putting you on the spot here a little bit. So.
I think he's a poor man's Kenny Galladay, as crazy as it may sound, at least in my mind. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really crazy about any of these wide receivers. I mean, I think they'll be good, but there's no one who I think we need to absolutely get. You know what I'm saying?
Murph, I'm going to ask you the same question. Since Christian Watson's your guy, what's his player comp?
I don't know. Nobody's asked me this. Like, the first thing that comes to head is Kristaps Porzingis, because the man's a unicorn. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'4".
Kristaps Porzingis?
Yeah, because he's a unicorn.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's what they called him, the unicorn. This guy's a fucking unicorn.
When has Kristaps Porzingis ever played football?
I'm saying, like, this guy's a unicorn. Like,
I asked for a player comp, and you give me Kristaps Porzingis?
I'm trying to figure it out. Like, he's a 6'4", 215-pound receiver that plays out of the slot but can also run down the sideline. I mean, I'm pretty sure he ran, like, a 4.39. He was in the 4.3s. I know that. I don't know. That's a tough question. Because he's, like, shifty, he's skinny, but he's also, like, kind of big.
It's kind of risky, though. I think a lot of these wide receivers are risky.
Maybe like a Diggs, but he's not, like, an elite route runner.
Yeah, but he's also 6'4". He's much bigger than Diggs, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, like...
And Diggs...
Yeah, he ran a 4.36, bro. He's 6'4", 208. He ran a 4.36. His vertical jump's 38.5. I mean, the guy's a freak of nature, especially if he puts on a little weight. I just don't know who a good comp is for him. The problem is a lot of guys like that don't work out. Ramsey Barnes comes to mind.
I guess that is a tough question. So, and the reason why I ask it is because Trey McBride has been, obviously his player comp is George Kittle.
I love Trey McBride. And I mean, honestly, if.
Whoa, what's that? Hold on. What's going on?
Well, you look at Buffalo, okay? So you look at Buffalo's offense. I mean, even Kansas City, both of them have tight end oriented offenses. So I think, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea going in that direction.
Dawson Knox took a lot of his reps out of the slot, so I'm with you. I think Ricky is a placeholder, so I do think we're going to invest. If Christian Watson, Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, and Treylon Burks are off the board by our second-round pick, I think you have to take McBride. He's a complete match.
Well, that's the other thing. I come back to the player comp aspect.
And I came up with a great comp for Watson. Mike Williams.
I don't know if it's great, though.
They're about the same size. Fox is probably faster and a better route runner, but like they got probably a similar catch radius and vertical.
All right. Mike Williams. All right. So then my question comes down to at 36, who would you want, Mike Williams or George Kittle?
That's tough, Kittle. Man. Mike Williams has been really fucking good the last couple of years.
But he's only been a number
Kittle's two. Kittle's been injury prone. Are we talking injury?
Well, no, we're talking just.
I think I'm with you. I love the tight end position, love tight ends. I miss the days of the New York Giants traditional tight ends, Kevin Bosses, Ballards, Jockeys, all those guys. So I'm with you. You know, I wanted Kyle Rudolph to work out so bad for this reason. So I'd be fine with McBride at the top of second for sure. I'd be fine with McBride over Watson.
See, that's just the other thing that I've really been kind of like toying with lately is like, because Trey McBride's not going to be there in the third round. It's just not.
No, but what is his name? Dulcik and Jelani will probably be there for sure. And what about the
But what's the drop off from?
Yeah, Trey McBride's a nasty dude, man. He manhandles people, and he also can go up and get a ball.
All right. Let's see. All right, bear with me 1 second here. So
let me ask you a question. Is Trey McBride that as good of a prospect as Freiermuth?
Better, right?
In my opinion, he's more complete for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think without a doubt.
Freiermuth isn't gonna put his fist in your mouth. Like
So I started a mock draft. We're already heading a little bit longer here, but just for argument's sake, because I don't think he has been available in any. Oh, this is interesting. Well, so far the mock draft has started out with Trayvon Walker going first overall, Ahmad Sauce Gardner going second, Aiden Hutchinson to the Texans. Derek Stingley to the Giants with all three tackles on the board, right? Well, we're taking Kayvon. And then we're coming back and we're grabbing Evan Neal. I think that's a wet dream, boys.
That would be an ultimate orgasm for me if they could do that.
All right, let's see. We're at 36. Oh, look. Sam Howell's there.
Sky Moore's there.
Let's see.
Brisker. Bowie Mafe, too.
So this is interesting.
Gone.
So there's Christian Watson now at 74.
I do like Mechie, dude. Mechie's nice too.
Yeah, but
hurt.
See, but Trey McBride now.
Yep.
Because
You're getting a 60th player at 36.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's just not going to be available.
So pick. Would we take Kayvon and Neal? Take a Jabo here. Take a Jabo.
Well, you already got the edge. Why are you taking a Jabo, you moron?
So take Petrie.
Let's just do what we said we were going to do. We'll take Christian Watson. I just really want to do this just to kind of see where Trey McBride goes. Yeah. I don't think he comes close. He just went.
He just missed him.
What's the best tight end available now?
Trey McBride went 56 to the Cowboys. That cannot happen.
That'd be Jason Witten all over again.
That cannot happen. So best tight end available now is
they're all there.
Yeah.
Go down.
So now, I mean, if I like this guy a lot out of Maryland, but see, that's the question I posed though, right? So. All right, let's restart this real quick. And then let's go the opposite way. Just to see what would be available at 6-7 instead. All right, so here we are. Aiden Hutchinson first. Ahmad Sauce Gardner second. Kayvon Thibodeau third. Derek Stingley. So here Look, all three tackles are also on the board. Oh, Sosa is gone already. Who do we like, Ike McQuano or Neil?
Neil.
Neil. This is, we're not really trying to do a mock here, but now, see, now this would be interesting, though. Ike McQuano is still there. I say the Giants doubled down.
Can you imagine that line with Iquanu and Neil? That would be pretty sick.
Let's see. Well, that's kind of what Chad was talking about, too, and not addressing the defense. That would be sick. But now this would be an ideal trade down situation with Iquanu and Cross still on the board for another team.
I could see the Saints. The Saints would want to come up because they're looking, they need to replace Armstead.
So now, question is, we're in a situation where we could take the wide receiver, but then that kind of defeats wanting to see who's available at 36. All right, well, let's say fuck it. In this situation, let's go Jameson Williams. So we get the wide receiver in the first round. All right. Then we go Trey McBride in the second. So now let's see if the Giants were looking for a wide receiver in the third. Yeah, there's not a lot still available. Although I'll tell you what, I like David Bell. I think a lot of people. So he could be somebody that the Giants get later on. Anyway, I just wanted to run through the situation real quick just to kind of see who was available. Because, again, ask that question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Should the Giants go after Trey McBride or a wide receiver? And then, again, with that comp situation. So who do you comp them to? Do you want Mike Williams or do you want George Kittle? So we'll see. Closing remarks, Murph?
No, I mean, I've been saying all along that we're going to burn down MetLife and Quest if we pass on Thibs. And I kind of feel like we're going to pass on Thibs, but I'm still not going to be very happy about it.
All right. Well, we'll see. CG, first show. Closing remarks?
Been good. Thanks, fellas. It's been a lot of fun. I do agree. They don't draft Thibs. It's going to be a riot. I would get the hell out of Jersey if I were you. No, but seriously, thanks, guys. It was a good time. I look forward to doing more of these. I think the Giants need to fix their offensive line, and I think they will. And I think we'll at least be headed in the right direction in regards to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's one pick that's for certain, and it's going to be the offensive tackle. So, thank you again, Chad Forbes, for joining the show earlier today. That's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.